Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message inspires and empowers you to move forward.
Today I want to conclude and continue our series, I'm a Believer. Somebody shout out loud, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I am a believer. I'm not a cynic. I'm not a hater. I'm not a doubter. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am a believer. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. My God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that my God will rise again. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. Are there any believers in here today? See, my concern today is that there's an assault against the believers. We live in a culture that is very unbelieving. And I want you to know today that you don't have to succumb to what society's opinions are. You don't have to adhere to perhaps what culture tries to assert upon us. But we can be people who believe in the Word of God, who believe in God, who are believers. Somebody shout, I'm a believer. We are believers. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 1 through to verse 6. And then we're gonna just skip down to verse 38 to 43. John chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 6, then 38 to 43. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He's from a place called Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord. And he wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Tell you what, try telling your wife that you're sick and her not arrive back for 2 more days. I mean, no, that's not going to be a happy day in that household. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, someone shout, if you believe, you would see the glory of God. If you believed, you would see the glory of God. Well, then if you see the glory of God by believing, then the opposite is also true. You will never see the glory of God if you don't believe. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. Isn't it amazing that God prayed a prayer, not for him, but for you and I? Isn't it amazing that God prayed a prayer and he said these words, I'm not praying because you haven't heard me. I'm not praying because I haven't prayed. I'm praying because of all the people around you. Isn't it amazing that your God will always do things that are for the benefit of you? Then it goes on, and he says, I'm saying it for the benefit of the people, that they may believe in the one who sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Somebody shout, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off those clothes and let him go. The Bible tells another passage of scripture in Genesis 15, verse 6. Where it simply says, Abram, the father of the faith. Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father Abraham. I'm one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. Oh, the old schoolers know what I'm talking about. Oh, the kids are like, man, dad, please. Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, I believe that God is for you, not against you today, friend. I believe that God calls you to be the head and not the tail, friend. I believe that with God, all things are possible. I believe that God has greater things than you could ever imagine. I believe that God could do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can think, ask, or imagine. How do I know that? Because I look at the faces in this room. I look at the faces in this room and I see that there are people in this room and you are a miracle in motion. Had it not been for the Lord that was on your side, you would have been in a ditch somewhere. You would have been in jail somewhere. Some of you would not have even been alive somewhere. But God was faithful to you. And because God was faithful to you, now I see what God has done in your life and continues to do. in your life. See, I wonder what would be possible today in your life if you really believed. I wonder how many of us live our lives wondering if only. There was something that Jesus knew that Martha didn't. See, when Jesus turns up on the scene, Martha says, or Mary says, "Don't you know, Lord? He's dead." And then he says, no, hold on. Didn't I tell you that if you believed? See, believing in God is a decision that goes beyond what you can see with your eye. Trusting in God is something that is higher than your natural circumstances. Your circumstances today aren't where God is going to leave you. God's brought you out from where you were to take you to where He wants you to go. Listen, for many of us, we are not yet where we want to be. Put your hands up if you're where you want to be. Nobody in this room. But put your hands up if you're not where you used to be. Come on, you're not where you used to be. That means you're moving forward. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm not moving forward fast enough. But I need somebody to know that forward is still forward. One step forward is still one step forward. And when I look back at my life, yes, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm certainly not where I used to be. Amen, somebody. So I need you to know that it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. I've studied great men and women of faith. Men like William Wilberforce changed the nation of England, changed slavery laws. People like William Booth, the father of the Salvation Army. Smith Wigglesworth, the great miracle revivalist. I've studied all these great men and women of God. You know what I discovered? They were from Europe, some were from Europe, some were from Africa, some from America, some from Ireland, all sorts of places. Some were poor, some were rich, some were black, some were white. I've discovered one thing, that they were all different. They came from different places, but the one thing that they all held in common, the one reason why they all did significant things for God, is that they heard the voice of the Lord and they believed. Oh, come on, that's good news for somebody in this room. It means it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. If you believe in God, you can see the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, forward, church. If you believe that today, give God a shout of praise in this church. Shout, I'm a believer. You are not defined by what you do for God. You are defined by what God has already done for you. Somebody shout, I believe. I believe. And you know what happens when we walk outside the walls of the church? That's why, by the way, I love the church so much. Because when we come together as the church, we begin to sing these songs. Let His favor be upon you for 1,000 generations. And His children, and His children, and His children, and His children. See what happens when we begin to get in an environment like this? Our faith begins to rise. When we walk out there, they tell you that you can't make it, that you can't do it. But when we get into the church, we begin to remember and we begin to believe again. And there are three things that I want to leave with you today as a continuation of part one of this message, which I preached about 4 weeks ago. And I want to encourage you to get that message, but I want to continue to literally pick up from there. Three points I want to leave with you today when it comes to being a believer. This point number four, never give weight to the cynics. Never give weight to cynics. Let me let you in on a little secret. The world was never changed by cynics. Doubtful people have never made an impact on the world. Unbelievers have never done anything significant in the world. But I tell you, who has done significant things? Believers. See, that's why I'm thankful to be part of the church. You know why? It's because of believers that a bunch of people began to care for widows and orphans. They began to provide for them. They began to bandage their wounds. And then as a result of doing that, they decided that they needed to get a bigger place because there were so many people. And they got this big place and they began to bring in stretchers and beds and they began to get medicines. They began to get nurses and doctors. I need somebody to know it's because of believers that we have modern day hospitals. Hospitals didn't come about because of cynics. Hospitals became about because of believers. A bunch of believers many, many, many years ago decided that we need the way forward for our children is education. We have to educate them. We have to give them knowledge. We have to empower them. And so they began to take these little kids and small classrooms, began to teach them, and then they got more kids and had to add more classrooms. I need you to know today that it's because of believers that schools were invented. Schools and universities, they are in existence because of believers. I need you to know that if you are a believer, you will change the world. Slap somebody next to you and say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And in this passage of scripture, it's amazing to me. Lazarus is dead. Jesus turns up. Lazarus' sister says, Lord, don't you know he's been dead? I don't know about you, but I've discovered that some of the greatest naysayers in our lives can be those who are closest to us. Oh, I'm preaching now. Don't look to the left or to the right. Sometimes it's the people who are closest to us who can be our naysayers. I want to encourage you today, don't give way to the naysayers. Many years ago, I was working at McDonald's. I was a restaurant manager, and back in that time, we were talking 20 years ago, I was earning some very good money. I sat down, I just gave my life to Jesus, and I felt the call of the Lord to go into full-time ministry. By the way, not everybody's called into full-time ministry, but I want you to know that whatever you are doing, you are in ministry. If you're a teacher, you're a minister of the Lord. If you're a mum, you're a minister of the Lord. You're not just a mother, you're raising up the next generation. You're not just a teacher, you're putting something into those children. I want you to know that you are a minister. The Bible calls it a minister of reconciliation. The minister is not just the person with the microphone. The minister is anybody who's got Jesus in their lives. Hit someone next to you and say, I'm a minister. Yes, you are. You are a minister. And so many years ago, I remember, felt the call of the Lord, and I sat down with my mum and my stepfather, Grant. And Grant wasn't walking with the Lord, and my mum was, full on fire for Jesus. I sat down with them. I said, Mum and Grant, I feel like I've got to leave my job. I've got to go and work for the church. The first question my stepfather asked, he's very pragmatic, practical, men tend to be. He said, how much are they going to pay you? I told him. He said, that's the worst decision you could ever make in your life. He said, you're killing your career. My mum, who is a spiritual woman, said, darling, I think that's the best thing you could ever do with your life. So there I was with my parents. I believe this is the call of God. And one saying no, one saying yes. I want you to know something today. Unspiritual people will never understand spiritual decisions. Don't give your life trying to get the yes from unspiritual people. Now, obviously I said yes, and I stepped forward, and here we are today, some 23 years later. But here's the amazing thing. 20 years ago, he didn't follow Jesus. 23 years ago, he didn't follow Jesus. For a further 20 years, my stepfather still didn't follow Jesus. Can you imagine 20 years of hearing sermons? 20 years of hearing me preach? And then he came to our first ever Forward conference some years ago. And a pastor by the name of Jason Lozano preached a message. And in the very back of that auditorium, my stepfather gave his heart to Jesus. Now, he's in church. Now, he's doing devotions with my children. Now, he's a different man. And I tell you what, if I'd been led by the naysayers, people I love, then we wouldn't be here. And here we are, of course, Forward Church, 7 years on, one church in 6 locations. Hey, soon to be one church in 20 locations, soon to be one church in 40 locations. I want you to know, never give away to the cynics. If God's called you to do something, do it, my friend. God's called you to start a business, start a business. God called you to ministry school, go to ministry school. God's called you to lead, lead. But whatever it is, friend, that God's called you to do it, do it. Don't give weight to the cynics. Give weight to the counsel of the Lord. Give weight to the still small voice of God. Give weight to everything that God is speaking to you by His Word and by His Spirit in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, I'm a believer. Point number five. In order to be a believer, we got to get rid of the grave clothes. The Bible says that Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out. He's alive. You would think that that's it. He was dead. Now he's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go home. But that's not what he said. He says, now you're alive. That's good. But here's what I need you to do, friend. He said, I need you. All those friends around you, take those grave clothes off. See, it's one thing to be saved. It's a whole nother thing to be whole. And every single person who gives their life to Jesus, when you come into salvation, you've got some grave clothes on. You can't see it. We can't see it. But every person has some grave clothes on. And by the way, until you go home to be with Jesus, there's always going to be some grave clothes that you're going to be taking off. But I want you to know that if God puts, and by the way, that's why family groups are so powerful. Because there's a group of people who can help you. A group of people who can challenge paradigms. Come over here. Can you give it up for my beautiful assistant? See, when God calls us out of the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus had some grave clothes on. Underneath this is like six-pack. Beautiful, handsome, single, 04266. No, just kidding. No, come and see me first. See, underneath that is God's purpose and promise. The glory of the Lord. But what happens is that we've got grave clothes on. You know, and then what happens is God puts people around you, family groups. You know, and they're like, hey, listen, why don't you step into that? Oh, no, I can't do that because I don't trust people. People have hurt me. I can't trust anybody. I can't trust anybody. And some of us have been wearing those grave clothes so long. By the way, it's shiny, isn't it? Looks good, fits well. People have been pulling on these grave clothes and we hold on tight to it. No, you can't take my grave clothes. These are mine. This is who I've always been. You know, and then people try to come in and say, no, you can trust God. No, I can't trust God. Well, you can trust God with your money. Oh, no, you can't trust God with my money. They just want the money. No, my friend, don't you understand? God owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Don't you understand that the earth is his, the fullness thereof? He doesn't need our money. Oh, no, the church is just after my money. God just wants my money. No, my friend, God wants you to be free. Maybe God's calling you to step out and lead. And oh, no, I couldn't be a leader. I'm not a leader. Somebody else is a leader. I'm not a leader. Put your hands up here if you're a parent. You've got children. I've got news for you, friend. You're a leader. If you're responsible for one other human being, you are a leader. Put your hands up if you don't have children. Come on, the question's not that hard. Put your hands up if you don't have children. All the way up. Don't be shy. Powerful. If you've got your hand up, you're a leader of yourself. Yeah. You had to wake up this morning and brush your own teeth. And if you didn't, it's a good thing you came to church this morning. You're a leader of yourself. When God called Adam and put him in the garden, he said, you lead, you rule, you have dominion. Every person in this room is a leader. You don't need a microphone to be a leader. You can lead. In fact, somebody said, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. You don't have to have a microphone to be a leader. You're a leader. Oh, no, I'm not a leader. I'm not good enough to be a leader. Oh, I'm unworthy to be a leader. Oh, no, somebody else, choose someone else. They're better than me. And we hold on to the grave clothes. And the problem with holding on to the grave clothes, in fact, there are Christians who've been holding on to their grave clothes for years. And the problem with that is that as we hold on to the grave clothes, we never get to see the fullness of what God has for you. Something powerful happens. Oh, by the way, when you got the grave clothes on, you can't see the future. You can't see the fullness of what God has for you. You're blinded to what God... See, you don't know that you could have a shiny suit. Because you've got the grave clothes on. But something powerful happens when we say, God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. God, I thank you that you brought me here on purpose. And if you've brought me here on purpose, then you've got a great purpose for my life. And the moment we begin to release the grave clothes, something powerful happens. we begin to see the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give it up for Sheffield today. Thank you, Sheffield. Phil Pringle said, 10% of God's purpose was in me. 90% was in the people God put around me. I want to encourage you, get around some 90% people. Get around some people who are going to encourage you to change the world. Don't get around the kind of people who make you feel like you can do nothing. I've met a bunch of those. I've been around too many of those. I've decided I'm going to cut them out of my life. Because what God's got for you is so important. Hey, listen, don't give away your big dreams to small people. But be a person who takes off the grave clothes. Number six, some things must die in order to see the miracle. Some things must die. Some things we must let go of in order to see the miracle. The book of John 12:24, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, if it's planted, it produces many seeds. Hey, what is it in your life that needs to die so that God could do something miraculous? Hey, maybe it's pride. Well, pride's got to die. Maybe it's self-consciousness that's got to die. Maybe it's low self-esteem that's got to die. Maybe it's fear that's got to die. Whatever it is, friend, I want to encourage you. Let it die. Let the dead bury the dead. You are not your past. Your past is your past. You are not who you was. You are who God says you are today. Yeah. Some things have to die in order to see a miracle. In 2005, Rattini and I, we just joined Arise Church, and as we were there, we went on staff. We weren't pastoring at that particular point in time. So Rattini and I went, and we decided that we were going to start a business. So we got a business plan together, went to the bank, got a loan, and as we got the loan, we began to, you know, put money into it, invest into it. We set up this website, all the stuff ready to start this business, and we're going to go forward with this business. We went to a conference in Sydney and came back from that conference, and Pastor John, my pastor, senior pastor, then called me. He says, "Dan, can we have a coffee?" I said, "Sure." We got together at our coffee. He said, "Dan, I've been praying about it. I've talked to the board. I want you to come on staff as the associate pastor of the church." In my heart, I said, "No, I don't want to do that. I've got a plan. I've got my plan. I've got the business plan already. I've spent some money. I've invested in it. I haven't got small dreams. I've got big ones." And then I did, you know, I said, "Look, let me go and talk to my wife." And we were talking that night. I said, "Darling, we've got this plan, you know, and we're going to go and do this stuff. And, you know, and I know I feel called in my heart to do it, but I don't really want to do it." She said these words to me. She said, "Darling, we will never come second putting God first. We will never come second. The Bible says you will never see the righteous forsaken." And so I said to her, "Okay, all right, darling." We took the business and we pushed it to the side. We said, "Okay, we're going to pursue you, God, with all our hearts." So we got engaged in ministry. At that point in time, the church was 250 people. We began to sow and believe. And then over time, what began to happen is that the business on the side began to grow. What happened was, as God began to bless our ministry, God began to bless the business. In fact, God began to bless the business almost with no effort. And God began to bless our ministry. And God began to increase the church. So that by the time Rattini and I felt the call of God to come to the Gold Coast, what started as 250 people meeting in a little school hall, over 10 years became 5,000 people meeting in multiple locations that is now Arise Church. And then we moved here, of course, and now we see what God is doing. And here we are 7 years on. And I remember that as being the most difficult decision I've ever made in my life. I knew what God was calling me to. And you know how sometimes when people describe their situations, they describe it as being really easy? This was one of the hardest decisions I ever made. I had to make a decision. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And I want to encourage some people today. I want to encourage you today. Some things have to die. By the way, they're not necessarily sinful things. But some things just have to die if you're going to see the miracle. Truth is that you and I are all here because something died. And that something that died was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he died, we are the miracle. I look around this room, many of you, me included, had it not been for the grace of God, had it not been for the Lord that was on our side, we wouldn't be alive, we wouldn't be here doing what God's called us to do. And I want to encourage you today, friend, as we launch into the rest of 2021, I want to encourage you, friend, make a decision not to carry any more stuff in your life for the rest of your life. Take off the grave clothes. Let those things go. Let bygones be bygones. Forgive those people. Surrender to God. And as you do, you'll see miracles in Jesus' mighty name. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads all over this room? Right here today. Lord, I believe the greatest miracle is about to occur. Maybe you're here today and maybe you didn't know Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you're not right with God. Maybe you're here today, you're saying, yeah, I've drifted from God. I'm distant from God. I thought I knew God. I once knew God, but I couldn't say I know him today. And friend, if that's you here, with every eye closed, every head bowed.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit forwardchurch.com.